we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the WMIE station right here at 91.5 FM in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. It's my pleasure to spend the next half hour with you talking about the refreshing Word of God that it has. You know, I just encourage you to dive into the Word, get into the Word, and allow the Word to be the authority in your life. The past couple of weekends, I have been teaching our district school of ministry, and one of the principles of our early founders of the Assemblies of God was that everything must be measured in the light of God's Word. If it doesn't stand up to the light of God's Word, then we don't want to have anything to do with it. And so I pray that the Word would be refreshing for you. We want to say thank you to JITS Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804, 536-5804. Just to let you know how you can get a hold of them if you need any block work or concrete work that is needing to be done. They can take care of it. They do a great job, and they come with my highest recommendation. They've done a lot of work for us through the years. And I don't just speak to them because of the relationship we have to them, but I support them because of the quality and the craftsmanship of the work that they do. So give them a call, 536-5804. So yesterday was a much milder day than Monday was. Monday was extremely windy. And so I posted on Facebook Monday night. I was like, I pray that the Holy Spirit moves with even greater power through me, the pastor, and through Merritt Assembly of God than this mighty rushing wind is rushing through Brevard County right now or through Merritt Island right now. And so I pray that God would move us all by His Spirit to greater faith and to greater effectiveness, a greater anointing. And I pray that you're ready to get on that journey as well. We want to take you to Isaiah, the 60th chapter. While you're turning there, I will remind you that our kids' ministry is tonight. We start feeding the kids at 6 p.m. Kids' classes start at 6:30, and the adult Bible study begins at 7. So if you are able to come and be a part of any of those, we would encourage you to do so. It would be a blessing to us, and hopefully a blessing to you. So Isaiah chapter 60, verse number 1, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they all gather together, they come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you, the multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you, the rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory." So as always, I want to remind you that all of this begins because the Lord wants to arise over us. He wants his glory to be seen upon us. He wants us to arise. He wants us to shine, to emerge, to reflect the brilliance of his countenance. And as we do that, people begin to be attracted, not to you, but to God. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. It's not a natural love. It is a supernatural love. It is something that is that comes from the heart of God. It is God's nature, and as God's nature begins to manifest in the church, then all of a sudden people are drawn to that. So I want to take you back today to verse number 5. I want to remind you, it was not only people who were not walking in covenant that were attracted to this glorious lordship of Jesus Christ in our life, but it was also rulers, and it was also descendants and offspring and children and prodigals and people who had been carried off into captivity that were being released and being brought back home. And so those were all things that were taking place. And in verse number 5, it says, when you see these things, you will become radiant. You will shine even brighter. You will have even greater joy. And it says here, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. So not only is there a joy from the kingdom of God growing, but there is a joy that happens, and I've titled this little section here in verses 6 and 7 as secondary benefits. Secondary benefits. And what Isaiah says here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is that the abundance of the sea would be turned towards them, and there would be their hearts would swell with joy. There would be abundant provision. And it's not just superficial, it's out of the abundance. And when I was reading about this, my heart went back to the time when the disciples were fishing and they had met with horrible failure. And Jesus said, throw your net on the right side of the boat. And when they did that, they came up with a harvest. Now, you've got to understand, they were professional fishermen. It's one thing when you're an amateur and you do not succeed at something. It is an entirely different level of frustration when you are a professional and you know all of the tricks of the trade. They would have known all of the best fishing spots. They would have known the places to cast the nets. They knew the times to launch the boats, to cast the nets. And they had come back, and it was a failure. And then, you know, after Jesus' resurrection, they're out there again. And, you know, the first time, they ended up with such a haul that two boats, it took two boats to gather the catch. And then when Jesus was resurrected, the last chapter of John, and they were out fishing again, they ended up catching, I believe it was 153 fish. He said, come bring some of the catch. They had again met with failure, but because they obeyed the Lord's instructions, they met with abundance. Too many times we get afraid of that word abundance. And I want to encourage you to believe for an abundance of revelation. I want to encourage you to believe for an abundance of wisdom from heaven. I pray that God would give you an abundance of open doors so that you would be able to speak the words of life into people. I pray that there would be abundant resources. You know, not many people think too much about the many burdens that pastors carry. I heard of a pastor just last week who was getting close to the end of his ministry. He was getting close to being retirement age and just didn't know if he was going to be able to make it to the finish line or not. I don't know this person personally, but when I do know that in 2016 there was a pastor of a very, very large church, and he had a life-controlling issue that took him out because of the pressures that he was under. I know a another pastor of a very large church, and he just got up and he said, I'm burned out. I don't have anything to give anymore. And one of the issues that pastors deal with, it's not just people issues, but sometimes it's financial provision, because everybody's got their home budget. They know what that is like, but you also come into a church budget, and it's not like a business in this sense that, you know, if you need capital to come in, if you need money to come in so that you can support your missionaries, you can't put your products on sale and say, okay, this week only, we're half price. You know, it's not like that. You have to pray, and God is an abundant provider. Every time you look and see, there, he always provides not just enough, but he will provide more than enough. He is the God who is more than enough. And so if you want to pray for your pastors, pray for them that there would be an abundant of provision, and that it would make our responsibilities as pastoring to be a great joy. In fact, one of the goals that I see in the scripture, there was a time when they were wandering in the wilderness, and the children of Israel were offered an opportunity to give, and the leaders led the way in the giving. The leaders led the way in the giving, and it said that the people brought in so much that they had to restrain the people from bringing any more. They brought in more than enough. I just read a devotional yesterday that said that there are estimates that the amount of wealth of Egypt that the children of Israel brought out was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 billion. Now, I don't know where that person came up with that calculation. It was just a devotional I read, but I do know it was pretty impressive that God brought them from being impoverished slaves one day to the next day they were coming out by the millions, and they were coming out with abundant provision. When Abraham and Isaac went to sacrifice and there was nothing to sacrifice, Abraham said, God will provide himself. God provides abundance. He takes 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeds thousands of people and comes away with 12 bags full of remnants that are left over, because God not only provides an abundance, he doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste anything. And so I just want to up your faith a little bit, to believe that you can honor the Lord with the tithe and the offering, and he will bring in abundance. And that abundance will bring you a great deal of joy. As long as you acknowledge that it is God providing it, and you are a conduit that is flowing, that provision is flowing through, everything is going to be okay. Don't touch the gold, the glory, or the girls. That's a good philosophy to live by. Now, if you're a girl, it's don't touch the gold, the glory, or the guys. You want to keep your hands off of what belongs to other people. Don't get your eyes fixated on the creation to such an extent that you miss the Creator. So, secondary benefits, because there was an abundance of food when the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness. They were wandering through in the millions, and yet God provided for them manna every day from heaven. Not only would he provide the abundance of the sea, but also the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. And it goes on to describe camels and dromedaries and all those from Sheba, and they'll bring gold and incense and proclaim the praises of the Lord. You see, as you and I lift up our eyes, as we begin to arise, and we begin to shine for the glory of God, and people are beginning to be drawn into the kingdom, it is going to be a mutually beneficial relationship. You've got things that God has gifted to you that you should be able to share with those in need. The Gentiles owed a great deal of debt to the Jewish people because they had kept the covenant, they had the word of God, and Jesus came through them, and the Gentiles were ministered to in such a way that they also became heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So you and I, we owe a great deal to those who've gone before us. But when a need arose in Jerusalem, they were instructed, look, you need to share with them because you have financial resource. In other words, there was a different gift set in the Gentile world, but because they had come to faith, they were encouraged to share with those who were going through a dire crisis. I believe that many times God's miraculous provision is pent up, if you will, in the salvation of those we have yet to reach. And so I want to encourage you today to say, God, what do I have as a gift in my life that I can use for your glory, that I can use to shine forth into the darkness, and that there will be people who the power of darkness will be broken, the prince of the power of darkness will be devastated in their life, and they will be brought to newness of life, and when they come, it is going to meet the needs that the body of Christ has. You were not meant to be a lone ranger. You are not meant to do it on your own. I read a news story, I believe it was last week, that they are investigating an asteroid that they have put financial estimates on the value of that asteroid at something like 10 quadrillion billion dollars, or 10 billion quadrillion. It was an actual number. Beyond million, beyond billion, beyond trillion. And if I remember right, it was even beyond quadrillion. It was just, they say it is worth huge amount of financial resources. It's just that somebody would have to harness that thing and bring it back to where we could avail ourselves of those resources. So don't be afraid of other people's giftings. Can I just encourage you? Don't be afraid to utilize your giftings, and don't be intimidated by other people's giftings. Because if you're using yours for the glory of God and they're using theirs for the glory of God, God's going to be the one that receives the glory, and then they are going to, the kingdom of God is going to be able to go forth to an even greater degree. John F. Kennedy said, ask not what you can do for your country, or what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And so I've got something a little bit later here in Isaiah chapter 60 that I'm going to share about coming to Jesus and the purpose that you come. Verse number 7 has another interesting thought. It says, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar. And when I read this passage, immediately I go back to the first part of Genesis where Cain and Abel are bringing their offerings, and Abel's offering was accepted. He brought some of the first of his flocks, and Cain's offering was rejected. He just brought some of the things that he had grown from the ground. Abel brought his by faith. Cain did not bring his by faith. It says in Hebrews, let me take you over to that just a second. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm turning does not do for very good for radio. But verse number 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. So Abel's was an acceptable sacrifice because it was done by faith. Cain's offering was rejected. He did not make God a priority there. He didn't offer in faith. In fact, you could say that Cain offered God his leftovers. And so I would just want to challenge you to give God your best, because I want it to be an acceptable sacrifice. Let me see if I can find in Malachi the passage that I'm looking for here. Let me see. Still looking. But anyway, in Malachi, it talks about the gifts that were being offered by the priest to God. Here we go. I was looking in chapter 2, but it's in chapter 1. Verse number 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They will be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name? Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled? Do you see that there are things that are taking place that are unacceptable to God, and yet the people who are offering them are bewildered. Why isn't this acceptable? And so God explains. He says, by saying the table of the Lord is contemptible, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? And so what the people of the day were doing was, when it came time to offer God an offering and a sacrifice, they were not offering the ones that he had asked for, the ones that were the first of the flocks. They were not offering his best, but they were offering any defects that they had or the old that they had. They weren't offering him their best, and he said, that's not acceptable. Okay? Now, let me see if I can help you here just a moment. God is the one who gets to determine what's acceptable and what is not acceptable. And he makes it very clear. He said, you know good and well that if you had offered that to your governor to pay your taxes, that he would have said that that was unacceptable for him. And so what was happening, even with the covenant people of God, was there was a lower standard that they were applying to God than they were to people. And I will tell you, from longstanding experience, that does not get you the reward that you think that it would get. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, get this, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship, depending upon the translation, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, and get this, and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if you and I want the acceptable will of God, we've got to be willing to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, which is holy, it's set apart to God, and it is acceptable to God. It meets his standards. When Jesus died upon the cross, he met God's standard. He's the only one who could have. I would have deserved to die there. You would have deserved to die there. You say, but I'm a good person. You are maybe a fine person, but you're not flawless. And I tell you, one of the most dangerous things that can ever take place is when we have a blind spot to our own faults, to our own shortcomings. When I began this teaching on Christ the Healer, by the way, I'm teaching this coming Sunday. I'm doing a sermon this coming Sunday that I'm really looking forward to. And I'm going to believe that God, it's going to change people's hearts and lives. So, but God is the one who determines what is acceptable. So we need to make sure that we meet his standards. Jesus was the only flawless human being. I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect. And the danger is not in not being perfect. The danger is being blinded or having blind spots where we cannot see the areas where we are in desperate need of a Savior. And so I pray, and today's prayer at the end of this program is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to pray that God reveals any areas of our life that are not acceptable. If you do things at work and they're not acceptable, you know, you get the opportunity to either correct that, or you get the opportunity to find a job with a different standard. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to encourage you to pray and believe that God will reveal any blind spots to us today that would be unacceptable to him. Because I want that. I want people coming. I want there to be an abundance. I want there to be meat in God's house. I want to offer him my best. I want to see people saved in everything that God has gifted them to do. I want those gifts utilized for the glory of God. I want to be able to come into the presence of the Lord and him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want everything we offer to him to be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. Father, today I come to you and I pray for the men and the women, the boys and the girls that may be listening to this program. God, I pray that if there is anything that is unacceptable in our life, God, that you would put your finger on it. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Do not allow us to remain blind to our own imperfections and our own need for you. God, I pray that instead you would reveal it to us and that you would make the necessary corrections, because we want our heart, our soul, our mind, our spirit to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We want our finances to be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."